Jaya, right here. Why don't you guys stand? Jacob and Jaya from India. And they actually live in Canton. But they are from India. They live in Canton like 6 months out of the year, and they live in India 6 months out of the year. And I've known Jacob for, I don't know, maybe 30 years. I don't know, a long time. You're not that old, are you?
Getting up there.
One of the first times I met Jacob, I was shocked because he came here, actually to this office back here, and he walked in, and I thought, you know, this guy, who is this man? You know, he walked into my office, and he introduced himself, and he says, do you want to buy some drugs? And I was getting ready to call 911. I said, what do you mean, you're selling drugs? He said, no, you want to buy some drugs. And I knew what he really was selling was rugs. But that's a little joke between us, and he doesn't sell drugs, honestly. His wife makes a killer, what's that stuff we eat? Curry. Killer curry. And he's got a ministry, I'm sure he'll tell you about it, but it's with children in schools and evangelism and church planting. So we're going to hear some of his testimony and the story of his ministry, and they're going to show some slides. So let's welcome Jacob and his wife, Jaya.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Praise God. I hope you all had a blessed Christmas and New Year, and a Happy New Year to all of you. We appreciate this opportunity to come and share with you what God is doing in India. Thank you so much for backing us with your prayers and financial support to the Hope Ministries, and together we are making a difference in India. I'm blessed to be here today, and I'm going to share with you a little bit of my testimony, and then I'm going to share with you what God is doing in India, and maybe if I have time, I will be sharing the word also. First, I'm going to show you some slides.
Okay. Where's the clicker? This one here?
No, not that one. These slides go really fast. You have to pay attention. And these are from our ministry. And you will see some scenes from India.
If it doesn't work, we'll have to do it from up there.
No?
I'm not sure if it's going to work.
Okay, let me see.
Just hit the left. We can click the next one.
Are you can?
It may not work. He may just have.
Are you can turn on that without.
Without
timing.
Time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Automatic.
Okay.
Other size. Some technical problems. Yeah, I don't sell drugs. I sell the spirit. I want to share with you about myself. Some people ask me when I came in, where are you from? I said, don't I look like Indian or something? I was born and raised in India. My grandparents were Hindus. You know, India is a home for 1.3 billion people. 83% of the population are Hindus, 13% Muslims, and less than 4% Christians, and 1% different religions like Jainism, Buddhism, and different religions. Is that right? Okay.
You just want to watch it? Or?
Okay.
If you just blink it, it okay. Stops it. We can get okay. That to start it.
Start again.
Point it up there.
Okay. Just go automatic. That's where our highways look like. You can see the monkeys, water buffaloes. That's what the milk we drink from. This is how we travel when we go to India. This is our pickup truck. This is how the ladies work all day, planting rice, bend down. And that's how they plant. Rice is the main crop in our area. This is our getting ready for harvest. We have 7 children homes in India. And this is our first home, our headquarters. We have coconut trees all around us. This is the children's home, boys' dorm, and then the center one is girls. And there are about 35 children living in this home now. And I was giving them some treats. This is the upper room children's home, a church in Colombiana support this home. This was started in 1984. There are about 45 children live in this home now. And many children are becoming Christians, and they love to sing, and we buy them gifts at Christmas time, new clothes. That's a great joy for them to receive them. This is another children's home, a church in Cleveland supports. There are about 70 children. These are from the tribal areas. And we build buildings, and this is where we have problems with tigers and bears. And these children comes from the tribal families. And a church in Canton support this home. There are about 65 children live in this home now. And we have a campus. Children can play, and we are making bunk beds for these children so they don't have to sleep on the floor on mats. They are very happy for that. And this home is in another area, very poor area. And this man in the center right next to me, he was raised in our home, and he is working as a city administrator now. And he became a Christian, and he loves the Lord. And he witnessed to his staff there. And this is our high school and also college we have there. And we have 400 children that comes from the surrounding villages. And these are the college students. These students who already holds bachelor's and master's degrees come to get a training to become teachers. This is a high school section. And a computer lab, and kindergarten. And they can't even carry their own bags. They are starting school at 3. And time to go home. They get in the buses and go home and come back in the morning. We also have a 300 evangelists that we support. And they are working in the remote areas. They are working in 400-mile area, and they are going through a lot of persecution. Now we provide them bicycles, drums, and lanterns. And this pastor was beat up recently, and his ribs were broken, and he was in terrible pain. And he came to the prayer meeting. And there are so many other Christians are going through the same things. We also conduct crusades in January at our headquarters. And people sometimes walk 10 miles to get there. Some people travel 200 miles to come over. And we have morning and evening services. And we cook and feed people that comes from long distances, sometimes 1,500, 2,000 people each meal. And we baptize them in the streams and canals. And this is our church at our headquarters in Mori. God blessed us with this. A few years ago, we built this church. And 95% of the congregation were once Hindus. They became Christians through our ministry and now attending our church. And this year, last year, January, a team of 16 doctors and nurses came from Canton and conducted a women's clinic. In 3 days, they helped 600 women, and God really blessed that time to minister to the people. Each person was shared the gospel and prayed with, and they brought some money and bought some gifts for the children and distributed to them. It was a joy for them. This girl, when she was a little, she had a polio. She was curled up like a lump of meat, never walked for 7 years. And when my mother brought her to our meeting and we prayed for her, and God touched and healed her. I'm going to share a little bit about her. Since 3 years, we have been helping drilling bore wells in the tribal areas where there is no water. People drink water from this water holes like that. Some women carry 1 mile, 2 miles on their head like that, the water. So we drilled 5 wells this year. Last year we drilled 3. What a blessing it is to see. When you give them this water, their hearts are being opened for the gospel. And this is how they live. Very poor. And every place we went, we conducted a gospel meeting and preached the gospel and prayed for the people. And God touched and healed. And we also cooked some food and gave to those who were hungry. And it's awesome to see what God is doing through these wells. We're not only giving them natural water, but we are giving them spiritual water. Every place we drill, we are also building churches. They're open to build churches, and we are building churches, and they are attending churches, and they are coming to know the Lord. This is another new one we built last year, and we were dedicating one of them, and this is inside of that church. And the man on the far right, he came to the meeting last year. He was drunk. He was a very abusive man and alcoholic, and everybody scared of him. And we prayed, and he became a Christian. I'll share with you a little bit about that if I have time. And this is another church we helped build last year. This is all in the tribal area. And baptismal time is a very dangerous time for them. Everybody watch them, and later on they are beat up. And this groom was a gang leader. And he tried to escape the police and went to a right place, to a pastor. And then he shared the gospel and he became a Christian. And our children were here in the month of May. That's the first time they ever came to this country. And we traveled and showed them different places. And they loved horseback ride. That's the first time they ever went on the horse. And I put him to work. He loves to mow the lawns. He wanted to go around and mow the lawns. And they are back in India now and back in school. They are doing good. We just talked to them this morning. They helped me to put out a newsletter when they were here. Now they know what we are doing. Our daughter Stacy, she sang in a church. Jesse played a drums. After he played, somebody came and asked him, "Do you have a drum set at home?" He said, "No." And you have one now. They helped. They gave some money to buy that drum set. I was sharing about India. India is a very beautiful country, a lot of rich people, and a lot of extreme poverty. You heard, most of you heard, clean up your plate. There are so many children in India go to bed hungry. I was one of them. You heard about Dalits, untouchables, very poor, low caste people. I was one of them. When I was growing up, we didn't have a religion. My grandparents were Hindus. They worshipped all those idols. They say in India, these people have 3 million gods. I know that's kind of a little exaggeration, but it's thousands and thousands of gods. They make their own god. If they don't like that god, they go and put a stone there and put some dots and worship. And everybody that follows, worship and go. They worship because they are very religious people, looking for the truth. And my grandparents were like that. My parents didn't have a church, didn't go to a Hindu temple, but my mother leaned more towards the Hinduism. If there is a festival or something going on, Hindu festival, my mom was the leader in the village. Hey, let's go. She took everybody to that place. If we say we don't want to go, she beat us up. And when we were growing up, my family was very poor. We didn't have food and clothes. Sometimes we have to go to the neighbor's rice fields and pick some grain and bring it home and make some pop rice and drink some water. We spent days like that. When we were going through the poverty like that, I cried out to a God. I didn't know Jesus at the time. I cried out to a God. God, whoever you are, why did you create me like this? There are so many people who have food to eat, clothes to wear, and they're happy. I don't have food. I'm hungry. When I cried out to a God, you know, when you cried out to a God, even though you know don't know the true God answers. As an answer to my prayer, God sent an evangelist to our house. He's an Indian man, and he came to our house and began to share the gospel with us. And we respected him as a godly man, but we didn't pay that much attention to what he was saying because we had our own problem looking for a piece of bread. And he started coming day after day, and started telling us about Jesus. And one day he said, Jacob, can I stay with you guys? I said, we don't have any room. We were living in a 10 by 10 small thatched roof hut. And he wanted to stay with us. And I said, we don't have any room. He said, that's okay. I sleep on the porch. We have a small veranda. And he wanted to stay there. We said, okay. When he stayed with us, we had to share whatever food we had with him. And he said one day, Jacob, I know what you guys are going through. If you want to go to a children's home, they will give you food, they will send you to school, and they will provide you everything you need. When he said food, my eyes got big and said, tell me where it is, I will go right now. But to our surprise, there was no vacancy in the children's home until the following year. The following year, my brother and I were sent to the children's home. And when we went there, that's a Christian children's home, and the staff began to teach us about Jesus, tell us about Jesus. And it took me more than a year before I realized that I needed Jesus in my heart. And one day we were in a prayer meeting like this, I began to cry and asked Jesus to forgive my sins and invited him to come into my life, come into my heart. He came in and he changed my life completely. I was 14 years old at the time. And then God showed me that he's going to bring me to this country and use me to help other children in India. I was so excited, and I began to tell my friends, hey, God showed me that he's going to take me to the United States. They looked at me like this, who do you think you are? There are so many rich people are trying to go, but they can't go. Who will give you visa and who will provide you the ticket? I said, I don't know. God said it, I believed it. And they said, don't tell this to anybody. They may think you are crazy. That's how it looks sometimes. When God tells you something, people don't understand. They laugh at you. But God is not a man to lie. If he tells you something, hold on to it. He will fulfill it, even though it takes time. God's timing is not our timing. And we have to hold on to that and believe God for what he said and walk in his ways. And I told my family, don't tell this to anybody. Everybody laughing at me. We just pray. And we started praying, God, if you want me to go, you open the door for me and provide everything. Then I go. Otherwise, I can't go. And 10 years later, some missionaries from Ohio came to India to visit the children's home. By the time I finished my college education and working in the same children's home as a bookkeeper. And he came to me and said, how would you like to go to the United States with us to work with us? Then I said, I'll go right now if you take me. And they opened the door for me. I came to this country in 1977. After I came back, I stayed only for 1 year. Then I had to go back home. After I went back home and I began to pray, God, you told me that you are going to take me to the United States, and you did. And you said you were going to use me to help the children. I didn't help any children yet, but I'm back in India. What do you want me to do? And I began to pray. And in our families, we have a prayer in the morning. We get up around 4:30, 5 o'clock. We sit down in our living room, one room, kitchen and dining and everything there. And we sit in the middle of it. We have a mat to sleep. And we sing songs and we read the scripture and we pray. Before we go to bed, we do the same thing. And one night, one early morning, we came for prayer. My mom said, son, I had a dream last night that you are flying back to the United States. I saw a white plane you were flying in. I said, I had the same dream that night. I said, Mom, I had the same dream. And she said, go and find out if you can go back. I have a card, but I didn't know what card that was. I was told that was a temporary card. And I traveled 400 miles to find out. When I went to the travel agent, they said, you want to book your ticket? I said, I can go. He said, yeah, this is your permanent visa, green card. You can go back anytime. And I said, okay, I'll be back. And I traveled 400 miles back home, and I borrowed some money, and I went back again and bought the ticket. I bought the ticket only up to New York because that's all I had. I prayed, God, I'm going only up to New York, and I don't have any money to go any other place. You lead me from there and you provide the ticket and you take me where you want me to go. And I came to New York and I was sitting there and waiting for like somebody is going to come and pick me up for 2 days. I was in the airport 2 days waiting. And I was praying, God, what do you want me to do? I remembered a phone number of a friend in Louisville, but I don't have any money to make a phone call. I was standing at the phone booth and looking at that. I was standing there for a half an hour. And what to do? A man walked up to me and said, what are you looking at? I've been watching you for half an hour. You were standing there and looking at this phone booth. I said, I need to make a phone call, but I don't have any money. And he said, do you have a phone number? I said, yes. I gave him the phone number. He dialed the number, and my friend I met before when I was here, and he answered the phone. Before even I said anything, he said, hey, if you want to come and visit me, I will buy you a ticket. And he bought me the ticket in Akron Canton Airport, and they issued that in New York. So I came here, and I stayed with them one night, and the next day another friend came and said, I have an apartment if you want to come and stay with me. And I moved in, and I ended up staying 10 years there. And I was praying, God, what do you want me to do? I'm here now. I began to share in the prayer groups and churches. And at that time, I met Pastor Kurt, early 80s, or before that. And I was praying, and people began to write me letters and send me money and say, God spoke to us to send this money to you, that you are going to have a work in India. Use this money. And one mother from West Virginia, she wrote me a letter and said, God spoke to me that you are going to have a work in India. Use this money to help your people. And I wrote her back and said, I don't have any work in India. Please don't send me any money. And she sent me another check. And wrote me, I don't know what to do, but God told me to send this to you. But I wrote her back and said, if God spoke to you, please keep sending the money. When God speaks to me, when God opened doors for me, I will start the work. And I had $725 to start the ministry. I wrote a check for $725, and I wrote a letter to my family and said, this is all the money I have to help the children in India. Use this money to build a small building in your own land. I don't have money to buy the land. So build in your own land so we can start helping the children. 2 months, I didn't hear anything from them. I was wondering what happened to my check. This got lost or what happened? After 2 months, I received a letter from my family saying, and sent a picture of the building they already built. And they wrote me the story what happened. They started the building on June 5th. That's the monsoon begins in India. When it rains, it pours. It's not anymore like that. It's changing. And all the neighbors, Hindus, came to them and said, why are you building the building right now in the rainy season? Don't you know there is going to be heavy rains and you can't finish the building? My parents said, I know, we know there's going to be heavy rains, but God wanted us to build the building right now. Whether it's rain or shine, we have to build it. They started the work, 10 days no rain, 15 days no rain, 20 days no rain. The same people who said that thing came back to them and said, we need rain to plant our rice fields. Because you are building the building, we are not getting any rain. Build the building quick. And some of them came and helped them to speed up the work. And July 5th, by 6 o'clock in the evening, they finished putting shingles on the roof. And 7 o'clock, the monsoon began. They came back and said, these people told them, we know this is your God's work. He held the reins back until you finished the building. That has been a great testimony to those Hindus. A lot of these Hindus are in the church now, were Hindus. They're in the church now, once made fun of us. And one time, after that, we started the children's home with 18 children. We have a 7 children's home. And we have a deaf and mute home. These children come from the families that they don't care for them. And one of our pastors felt a burden to help these children. And he started a home But he didn't have any funds. He couldn't continue to help those children. So he came to us and said, this is the situation where I have 25 children with me, deaf and mute. I don't have any money to feed these children. Can you help me? And I said, let me pray and I'll let you know. And I went to the place and I saw that and saw the children. My heart broke. And he told me a story. One father brought her daughter, a little girl, and said, I want to leave my daughter here, take care of her. He said, okay. And he never came back to see that little girl again. One day, this pastor ran into him in a marketplace, and he said, sir, you brought your daughter a few years ago, but you never came back to visit her. What's going on? And he turned around and said, I don't care about her. I don't want her. That's your problem. If she dies, throw her in a ditch or in a river. I don't care. And they think the disability of these children, they think sometimes it's like a curse for the families. And so there are so many families like that. And we have 25 children that are living with us. We have teachers teach them and pray for them. When we first started the ministry, we built a church next to a Hindu village. And these people didn't like us. They came and built a Hindu temple right next to it, 100 feet from that, to harass us. It's a monkey temple. They worship monkey in there. And it's not the bad thing, but it says like they put a PA system on top of the temple and put a speaker right to us, our house, and blast the music from 4 o'clock in the morning to 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And again in the evening from 6 to 8, 9 o'clock. And sometimes our staff came over and said, if you let us, we can destroy the PA system. I said, I would like that, but we shouldn't do that. I said, we pray. We started praying. One by one, who helped build that temple became Christians, and now they are in our church. And they said, why in the world we built that ugly temple there? And there are so many temples. When you walk in India, every street corner, you can see a temple. And you can smell the incense. You can hear the bells ringing as a part of worship in those Hindu temples. And there are millions and millions of people still never heard the name of Jesus yet. And we have 300 evangelists that we support and train and send them to the remote places where the gospel is not preached. And when these evangelists go to these areas, they go through a lot of difficulties. Sometimes they are beat up. Sometimes they are chased out of the village. And their churches are being burned. And all these problems are going through. Now, you saw that man was beat up. And as a result of their ministry, we started over 150 churches. And God is using them in a miraculous way. When they go to minister, God performs signs and miracles. They look for the places where there are sick people in the homes. And they go and pray for them. And when God touched them, their eyes are being opened and hearts are being opened to the gospel. That makes a way for them to go back and share the gospel with these people. And as a result of that, there are so many people, Hindus, are coming to know the Lord. And this year, last year, we have a team of doctors came and treated 600 women. And they prayed with each and every woman that came there and shared the gospel with them and prayed with them. And who knows how God is going to work in their lives. And the little girl I showed you, she was with a stick. She had a polio. She never walked for 7 years. And her mother brought her one night around 1 o'clock in the morning. We just closed the meeting. We were ready to go. She brought her and put her on the stage. She was like a curled up and lump of meat. She couldn't even sit up by herself. And we prayed, and I didn't think about that much. 2 months later, I was preaching in our church like this. I couldn't believe my eyes. This little girl came walking with the support of a stick beside her mother. God touched her and healed her completely. And as a result of that, her family became Christians, and now they're in that church there. And our relatives also became Christians. They are coming to our church also. Praise the Lord. Amen. And when we conduct this gospel meeting, we see a lot of miracles. Hundreds of people get healed from all kinds of sicknesses. And I was in Florida like a month ago, or maybe a little longer. After the church, the leadership took us for a dinner. And I was sitting beside a family, and they said, Jacob, do you remember us? I said, I'm sorry, I don't. And he said, 7 years ago or 6 years ago, when you were here, we came forward for prayer. I was in a very severe accident, bad accident. And I had a severe headaches. My back was injured. I had a lot of pain. As a result of that, I lost my job. And we came forward and you prayed. The next morning, by the time when I woke up, I didn't have any problems, no headaches, no back pain, nothing. I was completely healed. God touched me and healed me. Praise the Lord. And just New Year's Eve, a friend of ours called and left a message on my answering. Jacob, I have to tell you something. A family asked me to call you and tell you this. And you were at their house 3 weeks ago, and you prayed for the family, and God did a miracle there. And she said, this man is a computer programmer. And he was going blind for like several years. He was going blind, and he couldn't go to church because his ears kind of couldn't take that noise. And he had headaches and all these kinds of problems. And we prayed for them. And his wife was in Colorado at the time, visiting the grandson. And they told me she needed to go to a surgery because of a problem in her foot. And we prayed. And then God touched him and healed him completely. Now he's back to work. And God touched his wife also. And when she went to the hospital get a checkup, and the doctor said, you don't need surgery, you're healed, no problem. Praise the Lord. That's what our God is. Our God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. When Jesus was on this earth, he did so many miracles. He healed the blind. He opened the blind eyes. He healed the lepers. He healed the all kinds of sickness, paralyzed people were healed. And he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same today. And he's in our midst. By the way, I want to tell you, that's an awesome worship. God is glorified. And Jesus is here. Holy Spirit is here. And we heard the word from God, I never leave you nor forsake you. That's our God. He's not a man to lie. And the man I shared with you, the young man, the groom, he was a gang leader. He was into a lot of bad things. I don't go into all that. And he was trying to escape from the police, from a city. And he went to the jungles to hide. And he went to his uncle, who happened to be a pastor. So he mentored, he started sharing the gospel with him, and he mentored with him, and he became a Christian. And we went to the jungle areas to drill the wells. And he was there, and he said, I'm getting ready to get married, and can you please marry us? And I had to travel 600 miles again, 6 hours to get there. And this young man is completely changed. Once he was abusing people and doing all kinds, and the police were after him, and he tried to run away, but God took him to the right place. And he became a Christian. He's completely different. He's working with young people now. And there are so many young people came to the wedding, and after the wedding, they were all dancing, tribal dance. What an awesome thing to see. And I want to share a word. John chapter 9, verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. We all had a New Year's resolution, probably. Most of us do that. That's good. Good to have a goal, even though we can't follow through it. But it's good to have one. But I like for us to see, we all make an extra one this year. To touch at least one person this year and bring them to church with you. I would like for all of us to make that resolution. You have more than one friend, don't you? At least one person. And you have to start expanding more again, not the behind one, more. You'll be doubled. And God calls us to do his work. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And this is not for the pastors or just the missionaries. This is for each and every one of us who accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to share our testimony with others. Even though we can't preach, we can still share what God has done in our lives. We can share our testimony. We can share how God helped us when we were down and sick and hungry and looking for a job. And how God helped us. If we share that testimony with others, it will encourage them and will open their hearts and to see how true our God is. You know, the Bible is 100% accurate. Nobody can say so-and-so is wrong in the Bible, because it's written by God's people, but the word was given by God to them. It's accurate. And God is showing himself to the Christians these days. Christianity in India, in the midst of difficult times, there is a lot of persecution taking place now. Like when I was there, I heard some stories. Hindu extremists training themselves like an army in martial arts to go after Christians to kill. And some of them, they were going to these Christian homes and knocking at the door around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. When they opened the door, they stabbed them and go in and kill the rest of the people. There is so much persecution is taking place. Instead of all that, the Christianity is growing. Christians are more stronger than ever before in India. Our churches are growing. And we see a lot of Hindus asking questions about Jesus. And we are telling them, we see a lot of Hindus are coming to know the Lord. One of our Hindu leaders, president and the leadership of our village, one time came to me and said, Jacob, do you know, almost every family in our village has a Bible, and they're reading Bible. I was so blessed to hear that. And they said, this is because your mother went to each and every home in this village and the surrounding ones and shared the gospel with those people. And today, and she's still working, she's gone, she's with the Lord, but her testimony is still there. Praise the Lord. No matter how who we are, we all have a testimony. We all have a word to share with others. So as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Can you see the darkness is covering the world? All the turmoil that is taking place in the world, it is telling us something. The word of God in Matthew chapter 24 clearly says, in the last days, these things are going to happen. And exactly those things are happening. Nation against nation, people against people, kingdom against kingdom. And there is seems like peace is being taken away from the countries. And one side, natural disasters, floods, heavy rains, hurricanes, tornadoes, a lot of destruction is taking place, not just in the countries, happening all over the world. And one side, ISIS, they want to take over. And the lawlessness is on the rise. Everything that is happening now is on the rise, is increasing by the day. Lawlessness is increasing. The lawless one is out there to kill and to destroy the Christians. The work of Satan, whose aim is to introduce his man of lawlessness, has already begun. In the streets, we don't see that much law-abiding people anymore. All over the world, lawlessness is on the rise. They can do anything they want. And in Germany, the refugees came, and now they are saying they are doing some things and they don't like when authorities ask them, what can you do? You can't do anything to me. That's the kind of answer they are getting. It's like the world is going crazy. In Matthew chapter 24, we can clearly see that. Like I just read that and so we can... verse 24:7, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. These are the beginning of birth pains. We're already, people are scared of what is happening in the world. Their hearts are failing. And you can still see here, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Is that happening these days? We thought about this persecution is only in the third world countries, but it's already here. Our persecution may be a little bit different now. They're taking all the rights, and in the future we may be, I don't know, we have freedom to worship like this or not. That's a concern. Because the way things are going, Christians are almost looked down on like a second-class citizens here. And people don't have any regard for God anymore. But still, there are millions of Christians in this country. Because of that, God is still blessing this country. We the Christians, it is time for us to raise up, stand up, and do what God has called us to do. And even though the enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, the enemy is out there to destroy us, to kill us, and to destroy our faith. But we need to stand strong in the faith. We have to pray, If we fail in this country, the rest of the world will fail. They look up to us here for all the support, prayer, and everything. And we need to be strong in order for the God's word to be spread all over the world. And these people, ISIS, they are committed to their cause. There are so many people from civilized nations going and joining them to advance their cause. It doesn't make any sense. They are committed. 2 days ago in New York, a guy went and shot the cop. His hands were in the car. God miraculously saved his life. And we never saw these things will happen. We never thought it will happen like this here, but it's began. And we, the Christians, has to know these things are going to come upon us. When it comes, we need to be strong in the faith and strong in the Lord. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Please continue to pray for us. We'll be leaving for India this coming Thursday, and we'll be conducting a gospel meeting there. We'll be arriving on the 17th, and our meeting starts on the 19th through 22nd. Pray for us for God's strength and God's anointing so we can boldly go and preach the gospel. Thank you so much. And thank you, Kurt, for the opportunity. And God bless you all.